good evening, and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Republicans win across the board in big Idaho races as Walt Minnick goes down to defeat. Democrats pick up a position in Latah County as Dan Schmidt wins Idaho Senate seat. Senator Murray's lead increases in Washington, and Radio Free Moscow gets construction permit for full power FM station from the FCC. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report, but first, world headlines from Feature Story News, Free Speech Radio News, and the International News Net. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. U.S. Senator Patty Murray's lead over Republican challenger Dino Rossi increased by about 30,000 votes in heavily Democratic King County this afternoon. Statewide, Murray has 50.8% of the vote. She has nearly two-thirds of the vote in King County, leading Rossi there by 105,000 votes after 143,000 votes were counted this afternoon. Rossi gained 2,000 votes in Spokane County as mail-in votes continued to trickle in. However, the King County tallies do not bode well for Rossi, who got 40% of the vote in the state's most populous county when he virtually tied with Democrat Chris Gregoire in the 2008 race for governor. Incumbent Democrat Tom Stroshine won re-election to a four-year term on the Latah County Commission yesterday, fending off a challenge from Republican Bill Gosling. The final tally was 6,311 votes for Stroshine, or 52.5%, and 5,710 votes for Gosling, or 47.5%. The other race for county commission was closer, with Republican Dave McGraw getting 6,107 votes, or 50.7%, against Democrat Robin Olgren and independent Jerry Warner. Olgren got 5,090 votes, or 42.3% of the vote, and Warner got 845 votes, or 7%. McGraw will serve a two-year term on the commission. I asked McGraw this afternoon to analyze his victory.
My strength is has always been out in the county. As I've mentioned from day one in my campaign, I'm running for county commissioner, not city of Moscow commissioner, and I think the strength of the county vote showed that, Lee. That's where most of my votes came from, and that's the people I hope to represent the most. Of course, the county commissioner has to work with the folks from the city, but we're county commissioner first and city of Moscow commissioner second.
What do rural Latah County voters want that's different than Moscow voters from your campaign? What's your perception of that?
Well, what I seem to see is the unemployment rate out in Derry is probably much higher than it is in downtown Moscow, for example. A lot of the people out in Beauville would sure like to see stuff like the iMinerals project get going, and maybe that's not nearly as important to the people in downtown Moscow or in the Moscow area. I think the real folks have different needs than the folks from the city of Moscow that's where hopefully the commissioners can focus a little more on the county and a little less on the city.
Any new issues that the Latah County Commission is not dealing with now that they're going to have to start dealing with now that you're on board?
Well, I've said all along I'd like to work with the planning and zoning a little closer, and Latah County's comprehensive plan probably won't be the first thing we work on. I'd like to focus on the budget a little bit and some of our money situations that are coming up, but that's definitely going to be a top priority of mine.
And what are your thoughts as you look towards working with Tom Stroshine and Jennifer Barrett?
I look forward to working with both of them. Tom is a good man, and Jennifer Barrett, both of them have given a lot to the county, and I look really, really forward to working with those two and doing the best we can to move the county forward.
Okay, any final thoughts for this interview?
Right now, no, not really. Just looking forward to, like you said, a little bit of rest here, and then Not really right now. Just looking forward to getting caught back up on some other stuff that we've been neglecting through the campaign, and look really forward to getting in the courthouse and getting some stuff going.
Republican Latah County Commissioner-elect Dave McGraw. Strohschein and McGraw will serve with Democrat Jennifer Barrett, who has 2 years left in her term and whose seat was not up for election this year. In the other contested Latah County race, incumbent Democrat Patrick Vaughn won against Republican Jerry Coleman, who is an employee of Vaughn's in the assessor's office. The tally in the assessor's race was 6,179 votes for Vaughn and 5,618 votes for Coleman, meaning Vaughn had 52.3% of the vote. The nationwide Tea Party movement translated into extra election victories for Republicans in the Idaho House, where Republicans picked up 4 seats from Democrat House members, and a 5th race is too close to call. In the 7th Legislative District, former Lewiston Mayor and Republican Jeff Nesset defeated sitting Democratic Representative Liz Chavez. Nesset is a financial manager and branch manager for D.A. Davidson and Company in the Valley, and Chavez is a retired schoolteacher who was seeking her 3rd term. 6th-term Democrat Mary Lou Shepard of Wallace was defeated by Republican Shannon McMillan. Also in the panhandle, Republican Kathleen Sims defeated Democrat Paula Marano of Coeur d'Alene, picking up the open seat vacated by longtime Democratic Representative George Saylor. In Pocatello, Republican Jim Guthrie won the seat vacated by Democratic Assistant Minority Leader James Ruchti. The close House race is in Boise, where former Republican Representative Julie Ellsworth had a 9-vote edge over Democrat Janie Ward Engelking in the race in the Capitol's southwest suburbs. House Minority Leader John Roush of Lewiston, who ran unopposed himself, said Democrats will ask Ada County to pay for an automatic recount in the Ellsworth versus Ward Engelking race. Tuesday's results means there will be just 13 or 14 Democrats in the Idaho House, which has 70 members. In the 35-member Senate, Republicans will continue to have 28 members, and Democrats will continue to have 7. Democrats lost the southeastern Boise seat held by retiring Senate Minority Leader Kate Kelly, where Republican Mitch Toriansky won. However, Democrats picked up a seat in Latah County, where physician Dan Schmidt beat Tea Party-leaning Gresham Bauma in District 6. The final tally was 53%, or 6,551 votes, for Dan Schmidt, and 47%, or 5,741 votes, for Gresham Bauma. Schmidt will join House incumbents Shirley Ringo and Tom Trail, who both won re-election from District 6, which encompasses Latah County. I spoke with Dan Schmidt after almost all the returns were in early this morning. We're with Dan Schmidt, and you expected the election to be closer then?
A little bit closer than this, and again, there's still one precinct out, but yeah. I'm happy with the outcome at this point, but I was expecting even more of a nail-biter.
Well, your opponent, Gresham Bauma, had some big money backing him. I think he had some money from Mr. Vandersloot in southern Idaho, who spends a lot of money on campaigns, and a lot of other backing. And you won with a bit less financial backing. Why do you think that is?
Well, I raised as much as I could locally, and I actually got, very good financial support here in the community. A lot of people contributed. Their support was very, very quite heartwarming to me to see the amount of support that in this difficult times that people would be willing to support somebody to run for political office. I thought that was great.
And as a Democrat, and what do you think the big fights for Democrats are going to be in the 2011 legislature?
Well, I haven't looked at all the races, but it looks like there's actually going to be less Democrats in the Senate and probably in the Idaho legislature. But the process is going to be that we're going to have to talk with each other and work out these problems, because we've got big budget problems and big issues that are facing the state of Idaho. That and I'm not a real strong proponent of party lines. To me, we got to sit down and talk, and that's what's going to be important.
Have anything quick you want to say as a final statement here?
Well, I'm pretty proud of my opponent. He ran a great campaign. I thought we did too. And to me, I think I have always considered Latah County a moderate place to live, and I think this reflects that.
That was Democrat Dan Schmidt, who will represent Latah County in the Idaho Senate starting in January. In the local House races, Democratic incumbent Shirley Ringo won re-election against conservative Republican Ike Young with 55% of the vote, and moderate Republican Tom Trail won re-election against Democrat Judy Brown with 57% of the countywide vote. In the Ringo versus Young race, Ringo had 6,748 votes, and Young had 5,424 votes. It was a long night for the candidates, as a vote-counting machine glitch at the Latah County Courthouse kept the final results from being tallied until around 1:45 a.m. I spoke with winner Shirley Ringo early this morning. You won against a very conservative challenger who seemed to be very much against public education. Is that what it comes down to, support for funding public education?
Well, you know, it's interesting because certainly Latah County bucked the trend compared to what was happening on the national level. But I think people here do care a great deal about their public schools and about the University of Idaho. And I think for one of the issues was that my opponent had talked about dropping the income tax as a source of revenue, and that being 48% of our general fund that pays for education, that would have been something that would have been devastating to public schools and certainly to higher education. So I think that the people in this district really listened to the issues, and I do think that that was one thing that would have been troubling to them.
And you seem to have a special boost because you are the person who's suing the state of Idaho over possible sweet tax deals, and that may save the state a lot of revenue. And do you think that was a big issue for you?
Well, I do think it is. First of all, I think it's a big issue just because of fairness, and I think people believe in fairness. And then for another thing, given that we are struggling with our revenue sources, the fact that we have substantial amounts of potential revenue that are not being collected because of practices of the tax commission certainly is an issue that resonates, and that just shows that it's possible for us to do a better job of funding programs without actually raising taxes, but to be more responsible about collecting the money that's due to the state.
Okay, yeah, that's lawsuit against the state tax commission. Finally, you seem to always have very conservative Republican opponents. Have you ever had a moderate conservative or a moderate Republican opponent?
Well, my first election was against Maynard Miller. And he was the incumbent then, and he was certainly moderate. And then Earl Bennett from Genesee ran against me. I think it was in 2004, and he was moderate. But I think other than that, you're right, that my opponents have tended to be of the very conservative ilk.
Any other comments as we wrap up this almost 2 a.m. now?
Well, I want to congratulate Isaac for his efforts to run and give people a choice. And naturally, I want to thank the voters for showing their confidence in me again. And I plan to go down to Boise and do the best job I can for them.
That was Democrat Shirley Ringo, who was reelected to her District 6 House seat yesterday. Republicans won every statewide race in Idaho yesterday, led by Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter, who won a second four-year term over Democratic challenger Keith Allred. Otter had 59% of the vote and Allred had 32% of the vote. Otter was found to have sent letters of support for the controversial ExxonMobil megaloads on the U.S. 12 corridor a year before the public knew about it, and voted in 2009 as part of the three-member Idaho Board of Examiners to approve overtime pay for state police watching the loads, again, about a year before the general public knew. Although that did not affect Otter's election prospects statewide, he did lose to Allred in Latah County. Allred got 50% of the vote here in Latah County, while Otter got 44%, with third-party candidates getting the remainder. Statewide, independent Jana Kemp got 6% of the vote, and Libertarian Ted Dunlap got 1.2%, and independent pro-life got 0.8%. Republican Michael Crapo easily won another six-year term in the U.S. Senate over challenger P. Tom Sullivan. Crapo had 72% of the vote to Sullivan's 24%. Randy Lynn Bergquist of the Constitution Party had 4%. Incumbent Republicans also had at least 60% of the vote in all the other statewide races. Tom Luna won another term as superintendent of public instruction over Stan Olson with 61% of the vote. Brad Little had 69% of the vote for Lieutenant Governor over Democrat Eldon Wallace's 26%. Paul Venable of the Constitution Party had 5% in that race. The margins were even wider in the Secretary of State's race, where Ben Assersa had 75% of the vote over Democrat Max Sermon, and the Controller's race, where Donna Jones had 72% of the vote over Bruce Robinette. Democrat Walt Minnick was ousted from his U.S. House job yesterday, being defeated by Republican challenger Raul Labrador in the 1st Congressional District. The very conservative Labrador from Eagle, Idaho, got 50% of the vote, while Minnick, a Blue Dog Democrat who served one term in the House, had 42% of the vote. The remaining 8% was split between independent Dave Olson with 6% and Libertarian Mike Washburn with 2%. That ends the short congressional career of Minnick, a timber company executive from Boise, who in his former life as a Republican was employed by the Nixon administration to help create the DEA. Minnick voted against a number of key bills important to Democrats during the last 2 years, including the health care bill, which passed this year. In 2008, he won a close race against Republican Bill Sahle, who lost some of his own party support because some of his views were seen as even too extreme for Idaho. In the 2nd District House race yesterday, Republican Mike Simpson easily won re-election with 70% of the vote against Democrat Mike Crawford and independent Dennis Shad. Crawford had 24% of the vote and Shad had 7%. The University of Idaho can now charge tuition to in-state students. Senate Joint Resolution 101 passed with 64% of Idaho voters' approval yesterday. A provision in the Idaho Constitution since Idaho became a state in 1889 prohibited the university from charging tuition. Instead, the university charged matriculation fees, which could be spent on infrastructure but not instruction. The other three proposed amendments to the Idaho Constitution passed as well. Those amendments allow public hospitals, airports, and municipal electrical systems to incur debt without voter approval as long as it is covered by rates, charges, or other revenue such as bonds. In Washington ballot initiatives, Washingtonians voted 65% against a state income tax in Measure 1098. The measure would have only imposed an income tax on couples that make more than $400,000 per year or individuals who make more than $200,000 per year. In other ballot measures, Initiative 1082 went down to defeat. That measure would have allowed employers to purchase private industrial insurance and eliminate the worker-paid share of medical benefit premiums and the Energy Efficient Schools Referendum Bill 52. Washington voters passed Measure 1053, reinstating a requirement that the legislature needs two-thirds of a majority in order to raise taxes or increase fees. Measure 1107, to end sales tax on candy and bottled water passed with a 63% approval rating. Colton School District voters did not support the proposed $5 million bond to renovate schools there. The 20-year bond needed a 60% approval, but received 52% of the vote yesterday. The city of Colton's $30,000 bond for general operations and street improvement received 68% approval. Other bonds for street improvements and maintenance appear to have passed in Teco and Palouse. A levy for the Palouse pool passed. Levies in Oakdale for law enforcement and fire protection received 67% support. And another for street improvements received 69%. And a levy for continued cemetery maintenance had 58% support. In other news, the Federal Communications Commission today issued a construction permit for Radio Free Moscow to operate a full-power non-commercial radio station at 90.3 on the FM dial with a transmitter site on Paradise Ridge, south of Moscow. The construction permit is a major step in a process that started in 2007 when Radio Free Moscow applied for two frequencies in the non-commercial part of the FM band with the intention of expanding its low-power signal farther across the Palouse. Radio Free Moscow entered into negotiations with Washington State University after applying for the frequencies. Washington State University had a competing full-power station application on 89.9 FM. The result of the negotiations is Radio Free Moscow gets the 90.3 frequency with permission to build a directional signal that will give full-strength signal coverage to Pullman, Moscow, Genesee, Palouse, Troy, and other outlying areas. In exchange, Radio Free Moscow gave up the 89.9 signal application, which was to serve Pullman, and Washington State University adjusted their proposed 89.9 FM signal to make room for Radio Free Moscow's 90.3 signal. Washington State University also agreed to make their 90.5 FM Northwest Public Radio signal in Clarkston a directional signal, also to accommodate Radio Free Moscow's 90.3 signal. Radio Free Moscow now has 3 years to build the new full-power station. The construction permit issued today is for a 270-watt signal from Paradise Ridge. However, under FCC rules, once the construction permit is issued, Radio Free Moscow has an opportunity to modify the permitted signal and increase the signal power to 1,100 watts, which will provide a strong signal for radio listeners throughout the Moscow-Pullman area.
Washington Governor Chris Gregoire Tuesday appointed Lisa Sutton to replace Judge Richard Hicks as Thurston County Superior Court Judge. Hicks retired September 30th. Hicks garnered national attention in 2009 when he presided over a suit filed by Tim Iman. In October 2009, a public affairs strategies firm requested the names of individuals who had signed 11 petitions for referendums on a variety of causes, including property tax limits, estate tax repeal, and transportation issues. Nine of the petitions were sponsored by Iman. Iman then filed suit to block disclosure of the petitions he had sponsored, arguing that signers had a right to privacy, then coordinated his efforts with the legal team representing the Gary Randall lead organization, Protect Marriage Washington. The right-wing group had already filed suit to keep secret the names of anti-gay rights activists who had signed the petition to take away Washington State domestic partnership rights from gay, lesbian, and senior citizen couples. That case was Doe versus Reed. Judge Hicks put a temporary ban on the release of names in the Iman case, pending the outcome of Doe versus Reed, thus effectively tying the cases together. Doe versus Reed eventually went all the way to the Supreme Court, which found in favor of the Washington State disclosure laws and ordered Protect Marriage Washington to release the information, and Hicks lifted the temporary order in the Iman case.
Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, it'll be mostly clear tonight through Thursday night. Low 36 tonight, high 61 tomorrow, low 44 Thursday night. Increasing clouds Friday, high 60. 20% chance of rain after midnight Friday with a low of 44. 40% chance of rain Saturday, mostly cloudy, high 55. Currently fair skies, 58 degrees in Moscow. Coming up next is Building Bridges, the weekly labor report from Pacifica Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine, also from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. Around 7:30, we'll have World Waves with Catherine Bonzo. World music on your radio right here on KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Susan Austin and Jesse Hunter assisted with tonight's newscast. Remember, every edition of the KRFP Evening Report is available online at the Radio Free Moscow website. This is KRFP Moscow.